You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic, so they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Well, folks, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Why didn't you say that before?
Okay, Jimmy, you're off the hook. We got Miami, Cincinnati coming up. Any thoughts?
I certainly do, Brett. I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every two-bit local columnist, I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is a damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a six-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper, because when you see this game, you're going to sh**.
College game of the month, absolutely free.
Meet Stu Finer, nickname The Source.
Listen.
He promises, quote, to piss on your bookie's face.
We got a quarterback picking North Carolina State +4. You can't have that, you know.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Let's get ready to gamble.
You wanna go and take a ride with me?
I have for you, Mr. X, both a strategic wrinkle that I think you will love because you love these strategic wrinkles that coaches uncover, and I have a stat of the day. Which one do you want first?
That's a hard call. I'll trust you to pick the right order.
Come on. It was just a binary thing. Flip a damn coin.
All right, door one. Door number one.
They're not behind doors.
The first one.
You weren't listening, were you? It's either the stat. What? It's either the stat or the what? It's either the stat or the wrinkle. What do you want? The stat.
Let's start with the stat.
Here's the stat. Yesterday was the 2-year anniversary of the last time a Big Ten opponent was called for holding against the Ohio State. The Buckeyes have played 17 Big Ten games in which their opponents apparently haven't committed the single most easily called penalty in all of football. Behold your stat of the day. Well, they're just better than everybody else. I know why you're just jealous about that. That is an incredible number right there.
Wait, are you saying Ohio State hasn't been called or their opponents?
Their opponent. No, Ohio State has not been called.
Okay, so it's not their opponent. They have not held the opponent.
Yes, they're
okay.
Yes, okay. So actually. It's it cuts against Ohio State. I read it the wrong way. So basically, the referees feel like calling holding against Ohio State's opponents is unfair because Ohio State is already that much better. So it's been 2 years in conference
It's their opponents haven't been called.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And they're throwing a lot, so that is odd.
Yeah, so the Silver Bulletin is the source of this. It's the Ohio State News Service serving as your trusted source for comprehensive coverage of Ohio State. Now, I'm not saying it's unbiased, but that's what they say, and I think that's a real stat. Now, there's this. The Steelers last week kicked the ball out of bounds on purpose because it was a better move than to just kick it normal. A penalty had moved the kickoff following the Steelers' touchdown to the 50, and the NFL rule on a kick out of bounds is the ball is placed 25 yards from the kick. Therefore, it was better to just pooch it out of bounds than it would be to try to stop a return. Pretty good, huh?
Yep. Good for them to actually know that. It's amazing that they skip little things like that.
Yeah. You gotta know the rules. Speaking of that, I got to get you on record before we get to football and everything else. Let's get on record with the World Series. Probably the best Game 6 and Game 7 I can remember in a long time. The last two innings of Game 7 were bonkers good, and it is a treasure trove of second-guessing for the armchair managers out there and the armchair third-base coaches out there about what happened to Isaiah Kiner. Falafel. What does Mr. X, noted baseball aficionado, think about all that?
Yeah, I was not on this. I did hear you guys talking, and I was not on your side.
Really?
You
deferred to what IKF and the Blue Jays did, which was to play it extra cautious.
Okay, the reason for it, I always tried to not be hindsightful. You know, usually in baseball, guy gets doubled off, you say he had a big lead. He doesn't score on a hit to the outfield, you say, why didn't you have a bigger lead? You know, you can't be hindsightful. And to me, with the bases loaded and the infield in, he's thinking sack fly. He's thinking win this game on a sack fly.
Yeah.
A ground ball to the infield with a force play, not a tag play, but a force play at home, you're out. You're going to be out. You don't need a huge jump. A huge jump is only a sign of danger. It's going to get you in trouble on a line drive. So it did not bother me that he had a smaller lead. That is not a time you want an aggressive lead to just go from third to home. You have a big secondary lead. Now you're scrambling back to the bag on a soft line or the outfield, and you can't tag and score. It was the perfect storm. In that anything fielded real clean, he's out at home easy. Well, that one was a difficult play, a little bit of a off balance, and he got him by, what, an inch or two? So then you can second guess.
Yeah.
But not being hindsightful, I had no problem with how he played it.
All right. You did cash. You bet. I saw, because I am a subscriber to your newsletter. Call me MrX.com. Go there for more information. I saw where once the Dodgers lost game one, that you bought them at a much reduced price of like minus 125.
I think it might have been 150, but anyway, it was a lot less than before game one. You're right.
It was minus 225 to start the series, correct?
At least. I think it was 250 in most places. And I did say on your show that price was too big. I said they're going to win, but I wouldn't lay that price. But you're right. Once they went down 0-1, that's when I told all the boys, let's jump in now at an affordable price. And did you see before game seven?
Uh-uh.
What I told all
you
that
You said hedge out of it?
I said in game seven, take Toronto plus a run and a half, win-win, and it worked.
Oh.
It was too, because we had too much on the Dodgers, so it made sense to reduce it a little bit. And as I said, while you're reducing it, go ahead and don't take Toronto to win. Take Toronto plus the run and a half, reduce the Dodgers' exposure, and hope for a one-run Dodger win.
And that's what you got.
Yeah, we got that. I thought that's what you meant. That was, it's better to be lucky than good. We'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, and now you know, ladies and gentlemen, why he doesn't give a shit about debating IKF's lead on third base. It worked out for him financially. See, that's where Mr. X's opinions lie. They lie in the comfortable nest of his winnings at the window, for the record.
I'm not hindsight. I kind of wanted to see them win, but I think it was a perfect storm.
You didn't kind of want to see him win. You had money on the Dodgers. That there's no kind of want to see him. It's you want to see your money win. So as soon as your money is on one side, now you know who you're rooting for, plain and simple.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Any other thoughts on the World Series now that we're wrapped up with baseball?
No, I mean, it was a strange series because, I mean, the Dodgers are quickly becoming the new evil empire, obviously. But I thought there was a lot of weird things going on all around. One of my favorite things there in game seven was the dude, Bo Bichette, who could not run. He looked like a guy playing slow pitch softball with a keg at second base. and yet he's wearing the sliding glove. I'm like, why? If you can't run, are you going to hurt your hands when you slide?
Yeah, that's right.
Because in that first time he got on and he got somebody got a base hit. Nobody talked about that. In the second inning, he got on and on a clean hit he was on second and he couldn't score because he couldn't run. And when they held him at third, he barely got to third. I thought, well, of course, then he got the 3-run homer, so all is forgiven. But I watched him on third, and I thought, what's the sliding glove for?
But in theory, if you're caught between bases and you have to run, you want every extra advantage you can get. Solly said last week on the subscriber edition of this wonderful podcast, which you should subscribe to very much. Please, thank you. While I'm unemployed, $5 a month is all I ask. Solly said last Friday, he's like, well, why wouldn't you wear a sliding glove that was like 2 feet long? Like an extra finger, like a foam number one finger. And I think at some point, if you engineered a sliding glove that was a virtual prosthetic, then they would rule it illegal. But
we've thought about that one for years in my household.
It's have like, you
why
really?
You wear like a, oh, God, the kids come up with all that. Why wouldn't you wear? And I said, why would you wear a 6-foot one when you can wear an 84-foot one and just touch the next bag? Come on.
How would you engineer that with a very lightweight polyfiber filament rod inside the glove? And it's all bowing and waving. And you're like, and I'm safe.
Something like that.
All right.
But it was a great series. I thought, I think it was a top, there's a recency bias. You look at all of the rankings of the top ones, and it's all the more recent ones. And they forget. Well, I still think 1960, 1975 belong in the top four.
It would only be a 7-game series, right?
I'm sorry, say again?
It would only be 7-game series you're comparing this one to. You couldn't declare a 6-game series better than a 7-game series in overall entertainment value, right?
Concur. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, but in 60, which is too old for all your guys and 60. Too old for me too, but when they won 1-0 bottom nine walk off dinger, that may have been the best ever, but it was a little before everybody's time. And 1975 was as good as it gets in all sorts of drama. But then most people will talk Cleveland Cubs, which was there. And this one belongs there, too.
You know, that was 50 years ago. I mean, many of my listeners are like, bro, ancient history. One more baseball.
That's actually 65 years ago.
Well, 75 to 25.
Oh, 75.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm thinking 75. 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more thing on baseball. Rest in peace, Victor Conte, the founder of Balco. He died at age 75 yesterday of pancreatic cancer. Whether you respect what he did or not, whether you love him or hate him, he was a charismatic man and a scientific genius. He created a steroid that was administered like a skin lotion that Barry Bonds used undetected to return from winter break to spring training in Arizona, looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger at his peak. And people said, wow, you've been working out, Barry. How about that? Must be skinless chicken and high reps, huh? And all the King's testing and all the King's men couldn't find out what the hell was it. 'Twas a skin cream that was doing it. When I first heard of that, after Bonds laid waste to the record that year, I'm like, I cannot believe you could deliver a steroid capable of changing a body type, with exercise, of course, that much out of a fucking tube. I would have thought that would require needles the size of a fungo bat.
Yeah, it may just apply it like sunscreen. That was wild stuff. And that brings, you know, that when you said that, you know, nobody likes to always hear about wins. I like to remember some of the worst picks of all time. And the year that Barry Bonds went into the season with approximately 468 homers, and there was a prop up, what month will he hit his 500th? And he was late in his career, and I took the prop, never. Thinking he was about to decline and he might not get to 500. And then, of course, he turned into whatever, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and hit another 270 or 80. I was off by a little
missed
bit.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah.
All right.
I won't forget that one.
So the kaleidoscope league that is the NFL turns and turns, churns and burns, and what you just saw last week has no bearing on what you might see Sunday or Thursday or Monday night. The favorites 2 weeks ago went 10-2, and every Johnny Square player came out of semi-retirement, fired up their MyBookie.com accounts, and of course use promo code ZABE, Charlie Zulu, Alpha Bravo Echo, and they're like, I'm in, this is easy pluckins, let's go heavy on the faves, and of course the underdogs routed the favorites 9-5.
That's
and
correct.
Many of them were outright wins. The Carolina win over Green Bay wiped out an estimated 30% of the remaining survivor entries across the board in all pools.
Yep, that's pretty much the way it always goes. And I think the week before when they went 10-2, it was like your Soprano take. Even if you were playing that week, I only bet 10.
Yeah, right. I could have made a lot more. Don't you think I know what I'm doing?
Could have turned your bullshit
into $1 million. My bullshit.
Yeah, it was a tough. The favorites only won 5 out of 14. The home teams only won 5 out of 14.
So
been a favorites year. I mean, favorites are still hitting at 56%. I don't have historical stuff. I just have anecdotal. I don't remember many years where it's been that high. It's been a chalk year so far. But the public also last week, they didn't just go 5-9. They missed the top four most bet games were Detroit, the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Colts, and they all went down. I mean, Patriots won but didn't cover. And so it wasn't just the 5-9 record. The ones the public was pounding all went south at once.
Yeah, What do you think accounts for this insane variability from week to week in the NFL? These are professional players. They're known teams with known players on them, and there's more effort, more time put into analyzing this sport than any other sport on the planet. And yet, it is a week-to-week, completely indecipherable league. Why?
That's a great question.
And if we knew, we'd make a lot of money, right?
Yeah. No, I think there's two points in there. Number one is, as opposed to college, where you can find some serious talent mismatches. In pros, sure, there's good, better and worse teams, but they're still pros. They're still good. They're still a lot closer to each other than those of us watching want to realize. And you take the example, the second part of this is the way Vegas sets the lines. Okay, last week the Packers were laying 12.5 versus Carolina. Now, if they happen, it's not a division game, so I know they don't play twice, but let's say they were playing them again this week after getting beat. You know what they'd be laying? 12.5. Because the point of it is, that's the right number. It doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. And just because you played a bad game and they played a good game, the expectation for the next one is the same thing.
What does it mean that's the right number? How is something, quote, right?
Okay. The right number just means that's where the spread does belong. It means about half the time it's going to come in on one side or the other. Now, when it comes in over 12, that's like I always say when you bet on the shit team.
You're saying that if you run the simulation of the strength of teams, half the time they would cover the 12.5, half the time they would not. But on any given run, like we had Panthers-Packers, whoops, one run, exactly. And it threw out one of the oddball results because it's going to.
Exactly. Every bell curve has tails and outliers. And that's why I always say when I'm betting the shit teams in the NFL, the Browns and the Saints of the world, I always say, you know, and we've had quite a good success with them this year. Betting the really bad teams is not easy because I always say you feel good when you get it. And when you miss by 47 points. You don't miss close ones. You hit them. And then when you miss them by a mile.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, it's a lot more even than most people think. And also, you know, it's the same thing of if you're flipping coins, there's times you're going to flip four heads in a row. You know, it's going to happen.
Right, because the margins are so narrow in the NFL, there's going to be more week-to-week variability because there's just a tiny one or two little things, one or two plays, skews the outcome of the whole game.
Yeah, and I guess, like I say, even if it truly is 50-50 with the spread, if you flip coins every week, there will be a week you go 10-2.
Sure.
It's not impossible. That's what I'm trying to say.
Maybe I'll,
but in football, maybe I'll flip. We go, oh my gosh, look, the lines were all crazy. Look at this. Well, it happened.
Maybe I'll flip coins for my picks this week. Can't be much worse than I'm hitting right now. I'm hitting at 43% on the year. So you really should be fading the shit out of me. And you'd be having not a on very
the
th- nice
year. Not on the Thursdays.
Well, Thursdays are good. Did we hit last Thursday as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
Ravens won easy.
Yes.
Got you up to something in three. What is it? 9 weeks, 6-3, and I'm 7-2. You can't beat that.
Okay. Well,
on my heels.
You can beat it. You could be 7-2, or you could be 8-1, or 9-0, which some people probably are on Thursdays. But look, the computer is picking my Sunday picks. If you want my personalized selection, you're going to need to play the Thursday game available right now in a recorded message for $99. So we're at the halfway point of the season. Week 9 into week 10. Actually, this is, yes, we just finished week 9. We're on week 10 now. It's an 18-week envelope, 17 games, one bye week per team. Does my math check out on that?
We are halfway through the season. Not every team is halfway through. And I thought, sure, you were about to play Mike Francesa. Can you believe it's week 10 already?
Yes, that's right. Well, some teams have played 9 games, some teams have played 8. But nobody's played fewer than 8. So there's that.
Correct.
How do you know, how do we know who's any good after at the halfway point? There's one statistic, or metric, I guess it would be, because it's a combination of statistics, that purports to be one of the better indicators of just who is any good, and that is the ANYA, average net yards per attempts, or the ANAY value, which is the team ANYA minus the league average. So in other words, the teams that can pass well are usually the best in today's NFL. And the teams that can pass well and hold their opponents to fewer yards passing get weighted even better. So if you're going to rank in terms of the difference, the Seahawks, Rams, Packers, Lions, Colts, Bills, Chargers, Patriots, Eagles are your top 9 teams. Whether you believe in that statistic or not, just applying the eye test, there's no clunkers statistically in the top 9. Would you agree? Like, that number did not spit in there by accident, the Giants or the Cowboys or the Raiders or the Bears. Like, those top 9 are really solid, those 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess another way to say that, if I'm, hey, the teams that have won are better.
No, but this is not winning or losing. This
But you just named the 9 best records.
No, I named the top 9 in ANYA.
I know, and they happen to also be the 9 best records.
Okay, but what?
So I'm going to look at wins and save you all that stats.
Okay, all right. But
enter Bill Parcells here. You are what your record says you are.
Okay, but couldn't you argue this has unearthed a key trait, which is throw the ball well for lots of yards and defend the pass well? That more matters more than anything. Of course, you could also sort by turnover margin, and I'd be willing to bet the top 10 turnover margin also have at least 10 of the top 15 teams in record. So,
no, I was teasing, but obviously I think that's correct. I do think there's a little flaw in that the more risk you take, the more yards you gain, but you also have turnovers, sacks, bad plays, negative impacts on the game. So I do think yardage is a little bit overrated, but I would also want the team that gets and doesn't give up yards before one that doesn't, of course. It really comes down to, do you believe, as coaches always talk about, we have to play mistake-free. Do you believe teams play mistake-free, or do you think it's luck? That's the trick. Yeah. And if it's luck, then I want the yardage team. But if, like, the early in this year when the Patriots lost to the Steelers, and it was one of the more dominating yardage games of the year, the Pats destroyed them in every category except they had 5 turnovers. So you look at that, you watch those two teams play, and you say, one can move the ball and stop the other. They're better. You turn over 5 times and you lose.
Shake your phone. It's full of water. You probably went swimming today. How's Maine, by the way, as you're still up there at the wonderful cottage? Cold. Cold. It's already cold. It's going to get really cold on Tuesday, but you're coming south Tuesday. So.
No. I'm coming south in 3 Tuesdays. Not till just before Thanksgiving.
Okay. So
yeah,
I'll
be here a little longer.
So if you're going to Vegas, how are you going to get to Vegas? You're going to drive down to D.C. to go to Vegas?
Oh, no, they have airports up here now.
Oh, okay. All right, well, you fly down to D.C. and then fly out to Vegas. Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Okay, so you got an email from a listener who has a "What are you doing?"
Yeah, one of my guys texted me, "What are you doing on the Washington State, Oregon State game?"
What happened?
It's not a real. Well, they just totally dominated that game, and the last couple of possessions were just absolute "What are you doing?" I can't remember the exact one right now, but it was,
your final score was Oregon State 10, Washington State 7. That is a super low score for a pair of P4 teams.
Yeah, Washington State had numerous chances to win that game, including missing it, extra point field goal in the last minute to go to overtime. They
what are you doing?
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. Just the plays they were running to give the game away at the end. He's texting me and says,
What are you doing? You list this under a "What are you doing?" You don't even have you don't even have it handy. Okay.
No, I don't.
All right. Next item, the referees. Is it their job to call penalties or prevent penalties from occurring?
This is the thing. One of my kids tells me I'm completely wrong on this, of course. But especially now with the, unsportsmanlike. The rule's the rule. You don't have to like it. But the rule is you can't, taunt the other player. You can celebrate, all that stuff. You can't taunt them. But what bothers me is I thought referees' job is to officiate the game that they're there watching. And now I watch them trying to prevent penalties. Like you see the guy make the catch and he starts to do like a little bit of a taunt sort of action. And the refs will run up from the secondary and intervene like, "Don't commit a penalty. Don't commit a penalty. Don't be unsportsmanlike." And when I see that on the other side, I'm thinking, why did you just stop him from doing that? He was about to do it.
Well,
and you stopped it. Is it their job to prevent you from making penalties or just call the damn penalty?
In that,
what are you doing?
Okay, but you're talking about one specific violation.
Uh-huh. Right.
They may be rushing in to prevent a larger fracas. To separate two.
No. Okay. We're not talking about like guys fighting. We're talking about the like stick the ball in their face and they run up and you can see them going, "Don't do it. Okay. Don't do it."
Well, I don't know what league you're watching. It must be a parallel league than the one I'm watching. But I watched this week the most egregious celebration penalty I've ever seen against Carolina as they recreated the Hingle McCringleberry two pumps skit from Key and Peele, and there was nothing vulgar about it other than a brief pelvic thrust, two of them, And they even stayed within the rule, which is three pumps is a penalty, two pumps is not. Stupid-ass Lan Clark doesn't get the joke. And he threw a penalty that was a huge impact in the game because they had to kick it from 48 yards in the wind, and the guy missed. The other one was Monday night, George Pickens. Being George Pickens, which is it's never enough to just catch the ball and go back to the huddle. You got to be a dick to somebody about something. And he reached the ball out as if to taunt his DB, then realized he might get a penalty, and then tried to pivot the ball to the referee. Like, oh, no, I'm just trying to give it to somebody and got a penalty. Those are dumb penalties that nobody who watches the league, nobody who consumes the product likes or wants. Nobody. But the league seems to take perverse glee in enforcing it. The only thing that gets the league's rocks off more is stealing $40,000 or $50,000 from players on Tuesday and Wednesday for things that were not even penalties in the games. So anyway, all right, let's go to the notes from last week. You wanted to talk about the scout team reps situation with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I heard you chatting about that the other day, and my thought was this. Okay, he's not healthy enough to be our starting quarterback. We don't want to take any unnecessary risks with our franchise. Why is he running the scout team reps?
Well, apparently those are super safe.
If you're healthy enough to run the scout team, aren't you healthy enough to play football?
That's a great question. Does the scout team go at 50%? Because if so, you're not getting very good looks from the scout team. No, the whole excuse, that's a funny point. Like, okay, well, if he was running a scout team, then he should have been good enough to play. The point is, the Ravens lied. They did it on purpose for a competitive advantage. John Harbaugh knows goddamn well exactly what full participant means. He's been in the league long enough. He does this every single week. They issue their report every single week. The thought that he would somehow get it wrong once on their quarterback, most important decision, is he ready or not ready, is ludicrous. Nobody believes it. But the NFL just didn't have the stomach to come down hard on him. They fined him $100,000 and said, keep it moving.
Agree with all that. Can you imagine the headline where it's like Jackson re-aggravated his injury running scout team? I don't see how that makes sense.
All right. You want to talk running it up?
Yeah. I had this one last week, University of Miami. You know, we often, it's more in college, obviously, than pros, but we were talking about those games where they were covering and teams that are still scoring late. University of Miami took a time, they were playing Stanford up, I don't know, 30 or 40. And they actually there was a timeout in the last minute, and then they ran it in, you know, from the four when Stanford was halfway to the airplane. And I think the one thing that is lost in all this, because the argument is usually, well, we're playing all 60 minutes or whoever's on the field is going to play. And I get that. Anybody on the field should try and try their hardest. But when it's kneel down time, it's kneel down time, because guys get hurt, guys get rolled up on in the offensive linemen. When you can kneel down and go home, you can't run a play and run the risk of hurting some 21-year-old kid because you want to score more points in a meaningless situation. I think when things like, it's okay to play the game, but when it's time to kneel down, you know, you think of guys, you know, Godwin last year in a meaningless situation out for a year. I don't like not kneeling.
Yeah. Well, I agree. The coaches are morons. Just like Dan Quinn had to admit the day later. Yeah. And let me get his quote here about it. About Jaden Daniels being in the game. He says, I get that. I've been thinking about it nonstop too. And man, I missed it. That's 100% on me. He said that Monday. He didn't say it after the game on Sunday night.
Yeah. I'll give him a little credit for taking the heat, I guess. I will say that at least one, if not two series prior, my kids were texting in our family chat, why is Daniels in the game?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a hindsight. It was obvious. And, you're just hoping you're not right. And he's also so frail that it's he's the perfect guy to rest in that scenario.
You wanted to talk about owner press conferences.
Well, I just was wondering, is Jerry Jones the only owner who has a conference after every game?
Yes.
What the? I mean, why?
He loves to
everybody
talk.
Else interviews coaches. Why does? Is there any other owner who says, "Okay, game's over. You want to hear what I think?" Is there one?
No, it's only Jerry Jones. Okay. Now there are some owners who have given in-season press availability, not really a press conference per se, but they might talk to a reporter. Woody Johnson talked to a reporter this year at some event, and that's when he stuck his foot in his mouth by talking shit about Justin Fields and saying, geez, if we could just complete a pass, that'd be great. So these are never good things to do. And if the owner feels compelled to hold a press conference mid-season, it's not to say, everything's going great, and I'm writing the paychecks. It's usually to address some situation where it's like, are you going to fire this coach? Because everyone thinks you should fire this coach. So any mid-season owner press conference is not good. But Jerry Jones has admitted, did you not see this on the broadcast on Monday night, or do you have ESPN through YouTube TV and therefore
missed
the
game? I didn't follow that whole challenge with ESPN. I was watching it, I was streaming it, and my kids were telling me I couldn't, and I'm like,
streaming
well, I'm
it
watching
where?
It. What do you mean where? On the ESPN app.
Oh, okay. So you bought the ESPN app. So that's
No, there's no bot. It's just a click on it. I just have Wi-Fi. I don't subscribe to anything.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you just whenever you want to watch something, you go on the Fox app or you click on the app on the TV. I don't know.
I need to check.
And they were all telling me they couldn't get it, and I was like, if Dad gets it, it's not that hard. I don't know, but I guess I don't know why I got it and everyone's saying you can't.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
Well, that's usually a good bet.
It says it was available on the ESPN app via your TV provider.
Correct. I do log in through my TV provider Virginia. Verizon.
Well, there you go. So,
okay.
In other words... But if you don't have a TV provider, if YouTube TV is your only TV provider, then you are shit out of luck.
Okay. I got you. I've never used the YouTube thing. I just use the apps. Okay.
On the Jerry Jones front, you missed this as well from this week. Jerry Jones said in an interview, I stir that shit up. When it's slow, he likes to stay controversial. This was on Sirius XM NFL radio. He told Stephen A. Smith, quote, what you do is a little bit of my philosophy, he said to Stephen A. Controversy. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Not serial killing. No, not that, but controversy. The Dallas Cowboys probably have the kind of interest that we have in no small part because we stay out front and we stay controversial. When it gets slow, I stir that shit up. In fact, I want to be relevant. I just want you to be looking at us. And then he pulled
That's the, honest.
Yeah, that's honest. And then, you know, the trade for Quinn and Williams was absolutely panned by a lot of people, and people were saying, you know, these two guys he got, Williams is not as good as he was hyped up to be and is not having a good season per se, and the linebacker from Cincinnati is just another guy. The defense is terrible anyway. What is Jerry Jones doing? I don't get it. And I'm like, what don't you get about an 85-year-old billionaire clearly focused on his imminent death? That's what he's doing. He's coping with his imminent death and the fact I don't have time for a 3-year steady build.
Yeah. Well, and didn't they, if you piece together the two trades, they pretty much gave back what
everything
they got
for
Parsons.
I know, exactly.
So he basically, that was a Parsons for, what's his name, swap. It was like, that it's makes the not, Parsons trade
even
stupider. Even
worse. Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. What else did you have here? I think I skipped over one. Why is trading now okay, but it never used to be?
Oh.
Okay.
It used to be the NFL deadline came and went, and there was never anything. And now there's plenty. I just got to try to think why that is. And I think it has a whole lot to do with how they prepare now. It used to be football was the most important sport to practice, the cohesiveness of running plays, offense, defense, et cetera. It's not like baseball. You know, you get traded today, you're hitting in a different ballpark, or basketball, the hoop's where it is. If you can score, you can score. But football took 11 guys running plays, and they had to start in June and training camp all year and six preseason games, four preseason games, get ready for season. Now it's all just, don't anybody get hurt, we'll start later. And I think with that mentality, they're more willing to take a player in midseason, whereas in the past, they're like, I don't want to bring in a guy in midseason. I want the guy we've had since June.
Yeah.
And now they don't do as much in summer training camp. And so they're more apt to just take a player that they didn't used to want to do. Does that make sense?
It does. Charch believes it was Belichick, your boy, who kind of broke the logjam on this about 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the first guy to
start making some moves. Yeah, I guess when he does it, people start to think it's okay, but.
By the way, there's a new field goal record in the NFL. This thing keeps getting broken. Look, you and I grew up in an era where Tom Dempsey's 62, was it, for the longest time?
63.
The 63 stood like a rock solid monument out on the ocean that was rarely even close to being toppled by waves. And now it's like every couple weeks somebody breaks it. And this guy, Cam Little of the Jaguars, who set it in Vegas with a line driver, a 68-yarder, he's not even considered one of the league's elite legs. He's certainly no Brandon Aubrey. Aubrey had a chance to tie with a 68-yarder, but he pulled it wide. It was still long enough to go in on Monday night, but he just pulled it.
Yes. Zay, do you remember after that he was on the Saints, right? The Saints game when Dempsey hit the winning field goal from 63. I thought it was 63.
I think so.
And afterwards, when the coach was questioned about it, that was back when the goalposts were on the goal line, not at the back of the end zone.
Right.
So the line of scrimmage was their own 45.
And he kicked it from their own 37.
Right.
That's
and when
hilarious.
Asked after the game why they went from that far, the coach said he thought they were on the other 45.
That's a good one.
He thought he was on the plus 45, and he was on the minus 45.
According to Grok, it says the ball cleared the crossbar by about 3 feet to give the Saints the win 19-17. And, of course, Dempsey was born with a birth defect, no toes on his right foot. So he used a custom flat front shoe that was legal. I don't know if a similar boxed toe shoe like the one I bought off a website from this small company in Ohio to kick field goals at Yohoo Nye Field. I don't know if those are still legal these days, but they're just not efficient because soccer style kickers are so damn good.
Well, Mosley used to have one, and they swear there was weights in the end of it.
Yeah.
The big square-toed shoe.
Like that's going to make a difference, right?
Wow.
All right. Let's see. A couple more things to get to before we give our picks and wrap it up. So you want to know what's going on with ESPN and YouTube TV?
Well, yeah, sure.
Because you have that. ESPN, what's going on?
Oh, well, no, we were just talking about it. I didn't understand all of the why you're not getting it and why I was, but you got me on that.
Here's one to think about. Do you know how many people subscribe to YouTube TV?
No, I don't.
9 million. About 9.3
that
million.
That seems low.
It is. It's kind of, and it sounds like everyone and their brother who's bitching about, this stupid impasse needs to end. I would imagine that the majority of YouTube TV subscribers are sports fans because the overall subscriber numbers are just not that large. So.
Oh, I would think it's just like DirecTV all those years. The only people who had DirecTV, other than because you didn't have an alternative, you were too rural, was Sunday Ticket subscribers.
Yeah.
Same thing. I would think, this is not my area, but to me, this would drive people to find all of the illegal places that they would have never thought to look.
Exactly. That's I mean, what, that's, yes, that's yeah. what Charge said, and I found somebody else who tweeted it saying that it's not so much the money of subscribing to something else. It's the exhaustion from chasing. It's like, now I got to go get Hulu Plus. What am I doing with YouTube TV? Well, I still kind of want this, but do I need it? You know what? I'm going to dump out of it. And so it's the exhaustion of that and the time suck of signing up and unsigning up and changing over and getting used to it. Everything else, it's a fucking pain in the ass. So it's a lot easier if you're just going to pirate everything and then flush it. Don't subscribe to anything.
Yeah. And of course, the biggest thing is the sharing. I mean, can you share the account? You know, when my kids were away at college, you know, they'd be able to tap in and share the account. Now, all of a sudden, I'll get bumped and I'll be like, have to send the text. All right, who's on? Somebody get off so dad can get back in.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that. One of your listeners sent it to me 5 or 6 years ago, and I have been watching sports ever since.
Wow.
With that site, and it's the best. And as long as you're willing to pay in Bitcoin, it's good.
One tiny fraction of a Bitcoin, I trust.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. It is contortion season in college because the first unveiling of the college football playoff rankings is complete. And the rationalization of certain teams over other teams is truly hilarious. ESPN cites metrics on certain teams. And then when you say, can I see how you calculate those metrics? No. They do not disclose their metrics and how they make the soup. The other most comical thing is eye test. There is no eye test other than the one at your fucking ophthalmologist's office. That's it. Eye test is nothing but bullshine to try to make you sound somehow sophisticated. Well, my eye test, they look better. And, of course, the now claims of bias are flying fast and furious, SEC bias being the number one complaint, especially from Big Ten cities in the northern tier, to which Kirk Herbstreit insists it's bullshit and that the SEC is just better. I always say that I do think the SEC is better, but only by a click, and it depends on what kind of better you're talking about. Are they top-end better? Are they top-end chance to win the whole thing better? Are they top-to-bottom better? Are they better from the start of the season to the end of the season, or does the Big Ten get stronger in some areas than others? How are they in the weather? There's a lot of different ways to calculate it. But this is the season. Tis the season. So just to give you the college football rankings, they don't matter yet, unless they do. Mr. X thinks they do. They do. Unveiling has Ohio State number one, duh, followed by Indiana at 2, Texas A&M at 3, Bama 4, and then there's BYU at 7. I'm not looking at the straight down rankings. I'm trying to read from the AP story on this. There are some changes, though, to the format this year. One notable similarity is the top four seeds will earn a first round bye. It's Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, then Georgia, Ole Miss, BYU, Texas Tech, the top eight, then Oregon, Notre Dame, Virginia, and Memphis. And also the bitching about Notre Dame not being at a conference has begun early this year.
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
And I guess the rule is you have to have one spot reserved for the non-Power Four, and that's Memphis. Although it might be James Madison. So if Memphis loses one, we're looking at James Madison making it in there. Ugh, I don't know. And Virginia has a real good shot to make that playoff and be the first 30-point underdog in the playoff history.
Yeah.
That's the worst top 12 team I've ever seen.
Memphis, by the way, is part of what they call the Group of Five conferences. Group of Five are the five non-power autonomous leagues in FBS. That's the AAC, Conference USA, Mid-American, Mountain West, and Sun Belt. Okay, continue. So, yeah, well, you think Virginia – would you say Virginia or Memphis would be one of the worst playoff teams ever?
No, Virginia. Virginia.
Yeah.
If they win the ACC, which they're in first place, I mean, they still got to play somebody in the title game. And, of course, they'll lose the last game of the season to Virginia Tech like they always do. But they can still get in there with that loss. And I looked it up today. Are you familiar with the term power rankings, I assume?
Yes.
Which is how you develop point spreads.
Well,
I show Virginia.
Whoa. Who's power rankings?
Well, there's a million out there. I have some that I think are better than others, but everybody produces them.
Okay, but it's like saying everyone makes soup.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of guys that do their own and publish their own power rankings.
Okay.
But the point of a power ranking, other than just power, is, you know, you start with Ohio State or you take the top team and put them at about a zero. And so if a team's power ranking is four, it's going to be a four-point spread when they match up. You can use that number to see a spread coming down the road. Point is, I looked up Virginia today, and I found 49 teams with a better power ranking than 12th-ranked UVA. So if there's 49 teams that would be favored over Virginia as of today if they played.
Well,
so that's as bad a top 12 team as I've ever.
That is really bad. But maybe they passed the eye test with flying colors.
That's what it is. Maybe they can beat all the really bad teams in overtime.
How about this?
Which is what they've done.
And this is, by the way, coming from a UVA alum in Mr. X. So he's not afraid to call balls and strikes as he sees them to be. The other thing is UVA has a non-conference loss to NC State. So they lost 24-17 back on September 6th, but because of the way the ACC schedules and the limit of games, that was declared well ahead of the season, well, this is not going to be a conference game. And that's what would allow Virginia into the ACC championship game, the virtue of not having that game against East State count as a conference loss. Talk about convoluted.
Yeah. Well, what it was two good two average programs with an open date that couldn't find someone to play. So they're like, well, we'll play each other and it just doesn't count in the conference, but we got an open date. So they booked it, which I think I read something where they're putting a halt to that in the future. No more doing that, you know, it's either that or you go schedule some no name school. Cause they just had an open slot. Couldn't fill.
Yeah, it's an easy bus ride between Charlottesville and Raleigh Durham. So the other thing from college was, 2 weeks catching 18 or more points, and they lost 105-24 with the points lost by 63. I got to find a new way to do your notes because I don't know what they mean.
No, those are notes for me to remember. I know it didn't make sense. I was in a hurry. Right. No, the last 2 weeks, have you ever seen wheels fall off a bus like the Colorado Buffaloes?
Oh,
they were
amazing.
18-point underdogs total in the last 2 weeks, and yet they lost by even counting the spread, they lost by 63. They lost 105-24 in two games with relatively close lines. That's as big a wheels fall off as I can remember.
52-17 this week to Arizona at home in Boulder, and then 53-7 against a quality Utah team on the road. They are currently 3-6 on the year. And here's my biggest takeaway from all of this. Where's the media now on Deion?
Yeah.
Where are people saying he should be the sportsman of the year on the cover of SI? Where is Deion, the Deion that was bragging, taunting the current players in a YouTube televised documentary? We're bringing the Louis. We're bringing the Louis Vuitton. We're bringing the expensive luggage. If you don't think you can hang with us, then you better get out now. Where's that bravado? Even when he had his son at quarterback, a fifth-round pick in the NFL, and even Travis Hunter, who is turning out to be probably an overrated two-way player, picked well too high, even with those two guys, they never did shit. And now they're getting hammered. I guess I respect Deion through his health struggles. And by the way, he is in bad shape health-wise. He's in danger of losing a limb now because of these infections and whatnot. And I feel bad for him in that regard. But the notion that he was going to sustainably turn around the program is showing itself to be pure fantasy, and I wouldn't be shocked if he stepped away at the end of the year. And the big lesson is this, Mr. X. When the media rolls in and they start clanging their cymbals and clinking their hoodinkers and clanking their hoodonkers, yay, Dion, when it's going good, when the shit hits the fan and when the show is over, they leave and they never mention it again because they don't care. That's the media circus for you. But I remember.
Yep, that's for sure. Now, the reason that I said the rankings matter is this. It doesn't matter in the sense that it'll play out. Teams will lose. Teams will move up. I get that. However, the reason the first one matters is you don't leapfrog somebody unless they lose. So
that's right. It does matter. It
that's the reason it matters.
Matter. Right.
If you're Texas right now, you know we're outside. And quality, what do you want to call it? Good appearances, great. But you're not. Nobody drops down after a win. They stay. Right. Like, hey, how did Texas leapfrog Oregon when nobody lost? It doesn't happen. So whatever they're using now, yes, teams will lose and drop down. But if you don't lose, you don't drop down. Nobody gets style points and passes you.
Team A.
That's why it matters.
Team A, which is one spot ahead of Team B, could win 39-38 in triple overtime. Team B, one spot behind, could win by four touchdowns, and almost always they will never flip them. And they will default to, we can't penalize a team for winning, because that's the point of sports, and, you know, winning is hard, and, you know, we're not going to penalize them just because they didn't win by enough. Well, the other team might have showed themselves to be far superior, far stronger. They demolished a better opponent by four touchdowns. You sure you don't want to flip them? Nope, can't do it. It'd be wrong. It'd be mean to the team that's ahead of them. So you're right. It does matter who's ahead right now.
Yeah, for that reason, it does matter. But at least you know where you are, and what happens is, now those teams that are just on the outside, like a Texas, Oklahoma, maybe Utah, they're still going to try to get those style points. They're going to try to say, we can't just win. We have to move up. Although there are still some teams in the top that play each other, so there will be some sifting through that. But unless it's Nick Saban who says you shouldn't be penalized for losses.
Well, that's what he believes. He's part of it is the Nick Saban thing. He doesn't want guys, doesn't want teams to be knocked down just by a close win. All right, let's pick our Thursday night game. We got the Broncos and the Raiders this week on Thursday night football. The Raiders coming off a close loss to the Jaguars are 2-6. Broncos are 7-2 and lead the AFC West by a game over the Chargers. They're 4-0 on their home field. The line is 9.5. Denver.
Okay. Am I going first? Okay. I will take.
Okay, he says, letting the balloon drop straight to the ground.
Usually when you finish the line, you go straight to your
All right, pick. Hold on. Sorry. Hold on. Shake your phone. We got jangling going on. Okay. The line is 9.5. As I then stopped and paused, which is where you rush in and add some commentary to the broadcast. So it's 9.5. Who do you like?
I will take the Raiders catching that much in a division game. I think that right now Denver, in their defense is great. Their offense is so overrated. Simply because they played Dallas and Cincinnati and just ran them up and put up numbers.
Right.
If you take out those two games, their passing is second to last in the league. I think that Knicks and the passing game is greatly overrated just from inflated numbers there. So I'll take the division dog catching 9.5.
It's too big of a number. I agree. Yeah. Too big of a number. And, since we've been both picking the same side the last couple weeks, we've been both winning, I'm going to ride your coattails on this. Give me the Raiders as well, plus the 9 and a hook. All right, Mr. All right. X. For more, you can go to his website, callmemrx.com. You can also subscribe for his insider information. You can subscribe and see Mr. X's homework, because all he promises is that he bets the games that he then shows to his subscribers. That's the only promise Mr. X makes. And I think that's as square of a deal as there is out there in handicapping, that you're just saying, look, this is what I'm doing. You can do it as well. You can do a little bit of it. You can do half and half. Do it yourself, whatever. But I am going to play these games, and here's why. Just go to callmemrx.com, and you can find out how to subscribe there. And, of course, on Twitter, at @JustCallMeMrX.
Yeah, and the most common thing that people do is when you list your bets, the ones that they take and win, they already knew those match theirs. And the ones that lost, they only did because of me. That's the way it works.
The great truth is pushing that money through the window, or pushing it virtually through the window at very secure favored sites like mybookie.com. And as always, bet with your head, not over it, and only bet as much as you can afford to win. Mr. X, we will see you next week, my friend. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.